October 1962, Soviet nuclear missiles in Cuba. Kennedy's generals unanimously demanded immediate strikes, strikes that would likely kill 70 million people in the opening salvos alone and potentially trigger civilization-ending escalation. The young president had every reason to act fast: political pressure, military urgency, national honor. Yet Kennedy did something radical. He slowed down. Having just read about how World War I's leaders rushed into catastrophe through pride and hasty decisions, he insisted everyone pause and think deeply. He swam daily, maintained family dinners, and filled his notes with meditations and hand-drawn sailboats to calm his racing mind. His first question revealed everything. Why did the Russians do this? Rather than reacting to the surface provocation, Kennedy dove into understanding Khrushchev's perspective, recognizing the Soviet leader was likely responding to American missiles in Turkey. By creating space between stimulus and response, by finding stillness amid crisis, Kennedy likely saved millions of lives. This capacity to remain calm when chaos demands reaction isn't just admirable, it's the difference between wisdom and disaster. The Bhagavad Gita warns that mastering the mind is as difficult as mastering mighty winds. Modern neuroscience confirms this. Our amygdala triggers fight or flight responses before our prefrontal cortex can process situations. Mental stillness creates the crucial gap between impulse and action where wisdom resides. This stillness means observing thoughts without being ruled by them. Kennedy's handwritten notes during the missile crisis organized chaos into clarity. Athletes describe their greatest performances as time slowing down, becoming purely present. Musicians lose themselves in the music. Writers enter flow states where time ceases to exist. We've become addicted to distraction, scrolling through social media during meals, checking emails during conversations, filling every quiet moment with noise. But stillness isn't passive. It's an active, powerful force that enables us to see clearly, think deeply, and act decisively. Finding mental stillness amid chaos means the difference between reactive decisions we regret and responsive choices we're proud of. Marina Abramovich sat motionless at MoMA for 750 hours over 79 days, facing 1,545 strangers one by one. This seemingly simple act, to empty the self and be present, created an almost religious experience. People traveled across continents for a moment of silent connection. Many broke down in tears. Some returned multiple times, drawn to something they couldn't name but desperately needed. Meanwhile, those waiting in line fidgeted with phones, planned stunts, tried to kill time. They missed the ordinary wonderfulness around them, the subtle play of light through windows, meaningful glances between strangers, the rhythm of footsteps echoing through the gallery. This mirrors how most of us live. We chase accomplishments, believing happiness awaits at the finish line. But as Tolstoy observed, love, like everything meaningful, only exists in the now. Being fully present allows us to see like artists do, noticing details others miss, the way shadows fall across a face, subtle inflections in someone's voice, hidden beauty in ordinary objects. When we're fully engaged with what's happening right now, we access a level of performance and peace unavailable to our distracted selves. Napoleon delayed mail responses by 3 weeks, finding most important issues resolved themselves. He instructed messengers to wake him only for urgent crises, never good news. This brilliant accommodation recognized we must filter the inconsequential from the essential to think clearly. Today's information overload makes thoughtful action nearly impossible. We convince ourselves we need to stay on top of things, surrendering precious time to news and meetings. As Epictetus advised, if you wish to improve, be content to appear clueless or stupid in extraneous matters. When Dodgers player Sean Green fell into his worst slump in 2012, he turned to Buddhism rather than trying harder. He eliminated toxic thoughts about his contract and critics. Before facing the Brewers, he focused on mechanics and presence, repeating, "Chop wood, carry water." The result? 6-for-6 with 4 home runs, one of baseball's greatest single-game performances. By limiting inputs, delaying non-urgent communications, ignoring trends, refusing real-time news, we create space for what truly matters. As Marcus Aurelius questioned, is this necessary? In the silence we initially fear, we finally hear truth and conscience speaking. Tiger Woods won the 2008 U.S. Open on a torn ACL and broken leg, yet couldn't control the insatiable riptides beneath his composure. The roots trace to Earl Woods' harsh training, jingling coins during Tiger's backswing, racial slurs, deliberate cheating, forging a cold-blooded assassin. Their code word to stop was enough, considered an expletive only losers believed in. This warrior mentality brought success, but devastating personal cost. Many carry childhood wounds that unconsciously shape reactions. Leonardo da Vinci's curiosity masked pain from illegitimacy. Producer Judd Apatow realized he fought studio notes because he perceived them as parental meddling. Healing requires recognizing our inner child with mindfulness. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches, just by holding this child gently, we are soothing our difficult emotions. Gary Shandling's formula, give more, give what you didn't get, love more, drop the old story. When Kurt Vonnegut needled Joseph Heller about a billionaire making more in a day than Heller's novel had earned in its lifetime, Heller replied, I've got something he can never have, the knowledge that I've got enough. This sense of enough brings profound stillness, no ceaseless wanting, no insecure comparisons. American Apparel's collapse illustrates the danger of ignoring limits. Founder Dov Charney's open-door policy meant employees could reach him anytime. By 2014, he barely slept, issued contradictory orders, and mainlined caffeine, mixing packages of pure Nescafe in cold water during board meetings just to stay awake. He soon lost control of the company. Churchill's legendary two-hour nap gave him the energy of 2 days in one. Recognizing enough requires deep spiritual work. The drive for excellence that propels achievement often prevents enjoying what we've earned. Eastern wisdom teaches that when you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. True enough comes from within, from seeing what you already have, from choosing gratitude over grasping. In Camus' The Fall, the narrator Clemence hears a woman falling into water but walks on. Though he returns to his respected life, her cry perpetually torments him. He ignored someone's suicide. Camus' message? High-minded thoughts matter little compared to what we actually do. Anne Dufour-Montel lived differently. She died rushing to save drowning children, embodying her philosophy that life is risk, and finding in danger strong incentive for action, dedication, and surpassing oneself. Stillness isn't withdrawal, it's a tool to do more good. Marcus Aurelius found delight moving from one unselfish action to another. What matters is picking up the phone, sharing wealth, stepping in when someone's bullied, keeping your word, doing the hard good deeds that lead to true stillness. The ultimate test isn't how peaceful we feel during meditation, but how we respond when others need us. Do we turn away like Clemence, preserving our comfort, or do we act with courage? True stillness gives us the strength to do what's right when it matters most. And in that convergence of calm and action, we find not just peace, but purpose.